Welcome to another edition of Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. We're brought to you today by Renegade Concepts and the good folks here at Business Radio X. I feel like I'm flying a little solo out here today because my cohort, Stone Payton, is sitting off mic today. But he's going to give us some visual sign language to kind of keep the pace going, and he'll have humor off to the side. But don't feel like we're going to be empty in the studio because we got a great group of guests today. We have someone here from Actor Boy Video Production, someone from Missenheimer Creative, and someone from Idea Land. So let's get the ball rolling with a few introductions here. Sue Ann, let's start off with you from Idea Land.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm excited to be here with these guys. It's fun already.
Well, we're glad to have you. And Mark Missenheimer from Missenheimer Creative, Inc. Tell us.
Yeah, same thing here. And it's actually Missenheimer, but hey, who's counting? And I'm just glad to be here, too. And so Tom and Sue, guys are going to keep it exciting.
See, I'm off to a great start. Mispronouncing things, calling people by the wrong name.
And it's actually Actor Girl Production.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
See, there you go.
Well, I was wondering from the visual, but I didn't know. You know, right. I thought the pink looked good on you here today.
It does.
And that would, of course, be Tom. Tom, introduce yourself there from Actor Boy Video Production.
Tom Clark from Actor Boy, and I just got a chance to meet Sue Ann, but I've known Mark for a little while, so excited about it that we can all chat together and talk about our topic today.
Now, Tom, you're a little bit of a legend around this town because this isn't your first time on radio, is it?
No, I did some radio back in the day, which was great. Back on Power 99, I was known as Major Tom. Sue Ann and I were just chatting, and that was really the best because it was the late 80s, it was the early 90s, and probably still my favorite music.
Fantastic.
It was a lot of fun, and Vicky Locke, and you know, we were there, and Steve McCoy was actually there for a little while as well. So I got a chance. I actually got a chance to work with two legends. I don't know if I'm a legend. I was just kind of like,
oh, you are. You're so a legend.
Well, thank you. But they are definitely legends of Atlanta radio. And I don't know. I think Steve McCoy is actually coming back. So
really,
yeah, he left the confines of Colorado. And he's out of a gig right now, so I'm sure that somebody in Atlanta will hook up with him.
You said 15 years, though, right?
Yeah, I was. That's a long time. Radio for a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Radio is fun, and I know you like it, so.
Well, you got a radio face. I mean, that's one good thing about. No, sorry.
Nice.
Sorry. Thanks, Mark.
A little levity to kind of calm the.
Yeah, plus there's also the ability, you know, you say you're not sure you're a legend, but my wife tells me very clearly that I'm a legend in my own mind.
You're right.
Yes.
Right, so I think that counts for something. Well, great. Well, guys, we're here today to talk about marketing and branding your business, and I don't think I could have three better people in the room to chat about those ideas. You guys all come at it from a little bit different angle, and we're going to do something from a little bit different angle today. Rather than kind of have everybody talk individually, we're going to kind of have a little bit of a group discussion and let the folks out there know what they can do to increase their market share, grow their business, and God, increase their bottom line, because isn't that what everybody's really looking to do these
Absolutely.
Days?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was funny. I got an email from LinkedIn. You know, I'm on LinkedIn, and they sent me a thing, and it said 103 people have changed their job title or job position, you know, 103 of my connections. And I was like, wow. I go, that's a lot, and you don't realize until you actually see numbers posted that it is. A lot of people have lost their job. They're changing jobs, changing titles. So bottom line really is important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's just start at the beginning here. I mean, so marketing and branding, somebody jump in, tell me, what is marketing?
Well, from my perspective, you know, one aspect of marketing is everything that you do forward facing to the world, and that supports your brand. And marketing can be the way that you present yourself to one person or the way that you present yourself to a million people. It supports sales. It is supported by PR. But marketing is critical, and a lot of people overlook it because it's oftentimes hard to track. But really and truly, marketing and where I come in most of the time is it's critical to market in the moment. You have to take every moment as a brand or as an organization or as an individual to market yourself because everyone is perceiving you at any given moment. So you have to pay attention to that.
It's almost like impulse buying when you're at the store. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. You take that moment. That's why they hang all that stuff right near the register.
Exactly.
Because they want you to buy it. And that's their way of marketing, and I consider it kind of the same way. It's an impulse. It's what's hot. It's what's happening right then.
But the trick is it has to be there and be there at that moment. You know, that's
exactly
why we call it at the moment.
Right.
And so it's often too late once your sales cycle is generating down or you're losing, you know, prospects that you had hoped in.
That's exactly
to come
right.
back later, or if the economy's down, to come back and say, well, let's ramp it up now. You've sort of lost that edge.
And most people don't think about that. They think, oh, it's a down economy. We need to cut back on marketing. We need to cut back on, you know, various and sundry things. But a down economy is the perfect time to increase your marketing because the herd has been thinned. The competitors are lessened, and the people who are out there who are part of your industry who are looking for your product have become more concise of a group. So you have a chance to get, you know, lower spend on your ad dollars because advertising costs have gone down and the competition is less. And so you have that opportunity. But a lot of people make the sad mistake of pulling their marketing in a down economy. And it's the best time to increase your market share.
We sound like a bunch of, marketers and designer advertisers
right.
here.
I mean, right.
You know, but you're right. The cost center thing. I mean, I was involved in, as many people in the designer profession have been in the past, of, you know, you lose a big account or whatever, and the marketing department is the first one, the communications department is the first one to get cut because it's a cost center, not a profit center.
Right.
You know? And so.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and you made a good point there, when you thin out the herd and there's not that much competition, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's an opportunity. You know, I'm going to step on my competition's throat and I want to get rid of them. And I take it from the perspective is like, yeah, that's a great idea. And from video, when you approach these people, you know, now's an opportunity to really put quality and integrity behind what you're doing, because that'll really separate you even further
Absolutely.
From the herd. Because
right.
a lot of people have shortchanged themselves in the past. You know, they try to get by with a little bit here and something that might not be professional or something that might not be quite as good.
In your case, like a self-shot video, you're saying.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal what
right.
really is out
right.
there. And then
right.
those are my best clients, by the way, because then they're like, it's not working. You were right.
Yeah.
You know, and now's an opportunity when the herd has thinned down. You know what? I need to spend more ad dollars, but I want to do it right. And I want to put that integrity behind my product, behind my business. I want to give it the best look, the best feel, the best sound. And now I'm going to do it. So, and then, you know, as you said, you separate yourself.
Well, let me ask you guys this, because this is something that's really big for me. When I work with clients, I'm very specific with them about measuring results. And I feel like a lot of people have no idea how to measure results of their marketing. They just throw money at things and expect the phone's going to ring and sales will go up. How would you guys advise a company to look at that transition between dollars invested and the return that comes back so they know what type of marketing budget to operate off of?
That's a brilliant question, and one that, you know, I address daily with different clients, and have a great success story just from this morning with one of my clients, North Atlanta Urgent Care. We just really started paying attention to how new patients are coming in the door so that we can effectively change our marketing strategy, because it's not about tactics, it's about strategy. So you have to pay attention. Are they coming through the web? Are they coming through friend referrals? And so that kind of data is critical. And so when I sit down with a client, whether it's a new client or a client that I've had for a while, infrastructure, the process of measuring that is so critical, because if I work very hard as a marketing person to get people through the door, if we don't know how they got there, then we've wasted a lot of time and money because we don't know what's really effectively working.
Mm-hmm.
So that infrastructure piece is critical, tracking how you do that. And mm-hmm. it can come right down. The ROI is right there as long as you're tracking it. I mean, there are a lot of people who say, oh, marketing is so ethereal and you can't really measure it. That's crap. You can totally measure marketing.
I love a woman that can say crap on the radio.
crap.
I love the internet radio where you can say any word you choose to, and we're not going to.
Hold on now.
We're not going to be doing that.
I'm a good little Southern Baptist girl.
Let's
I'm
do
gonna,
that. Yeah.
I'm holding
yeah.
it off at crap.
Let's keep this Christian now here.
You know, and you know, I think a lot of the thing in my situation is word of mouth is real good. When people, if I'm doing work for some people, they'll tell somebody else, you know, I'm getting response from that video. A lot of time, a video may not get that immediate ROI. You know, you're putting up on a website, you're posting in different social media sites and getting that. And I like the clients that call me up and say, you know, I'm getting a lot of hits from it. I'm getting a lot of response from it. People are, you know, noticing that they like that. Oh, that was funny. That was great. And then they'll tell somebody else, hey, Tom, you know, I just heard from so-and-so. And they said, can you come up with this idea for me? I need some creative. And so it's those continuous phone calls and the other people that are saying, you know, you're doing this work and you're doing that kind of work there. I think it's a little bit different. You can measure people going through the door. You know, we'll measure on, you know, website hits, obviously, for something like that, and social media, all the likes and the people are going to the pages. That's kind of how we measure it that way. But I just love to get those phone calls saying, you know, you did this for so-and-so. Can you do that for me?
Right.
I love the phrase, can you do that for me? That's one of my favorites.
Well, Tom, take us through that, because you mentioned earlier in a conversation we had talking about the difference between straight-up marketing and viral marketing. How does that play into this idea?
Well, viral marketing is kind of fun. It's like, you know, you see all the viral videos that go out on YouTube and such and such. Some of them are brutal. Some of them are really terrible. But at the same time, you can get a lot of play with viral marketing, yes, but is it going to affect your bottom line? Does that really draw people in, or are they just looking at it just for fun? So to me, I love this, the straight-up marketing. I think that's going to get better results. The viral marketing, I think you can tag on. That kind of helps the branding, but I think a lot of the straight-up marketing has to be done first, and then you can kind of do that branding a little bit later on. It's almost like with the Geico caveman and, you know, the lizard. They kind of get their message out there, and then some of those ads now, they don't make any sense. It's just they want to do something fun and viral, right, and just to keep that in their head. And that's, you know, with a lot of different companies that do that. But, you know, there has to be some straight-up marketing first, and then follow it up just to keep it. Then you can have a lot of fun with it. So.
But that content is king on the internet, because that has totally changed the face of marketing. And traditional marketing has taken a back seat to social media and internet marketing. And that content, those viral videos, the video aspect, it builds trust with people. Yeah. It builds the brand, the viral videos do, because they're fun and silly and they, you know, attract new people to the brand. But when you put a face and when you put audio and with the content and it all matches up, then you're building a social trust aspect with your end user, your client, your customer, your patient, whomever that is.
You know, and we're on radio right now, and there's, you know, I think it's about 15 or 20% of people will remember what a radio show was or a commercial was. Now, if you see a print ad, it's a little bit more. It's about 30, maybe 40%. But when you put that together in a video, it jumps to like 75, 80%.
Exactly.
Because you're seeing that message, and, you know, you can hear it, and everything is together, and somebody once said, well, you know, what if you're in a sports bar somewhere and, you know, all that noise is going on, the commercial comes on, and we can't hear what's going on. Well, that's the tricky part, is not only making that message to where you can hear it, let's say if we're, you know, watching TV at home, but also create that story to where visually, if you can see it, and maybe you don't get the whole message, you know, audio-wise, but you can still kind of see that story and you know what that commercial is saying. So video can be very, very powerful. And to me right now, video is king.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it is.
And it's brilliant, Tom, because right now, because everyone has a DVR or they have the ability to fast forward through commercials, I oftentimes, because I'm such a marketing ad geek, I'm fast forwarding through the commercials to see which advertisers really get that.
I thought you were going to say you were fast forwarding through the show so you could watch the
commercials. No.
That would have been a true marketing.
Yeah, that's true. But
I'm not going to admit to that, maybe a little.
Only at the Super Bowl, right?
I would totally watch the Super Bowl commercials. I watch the football too. But anyway, my point is that people are fast forwarding through the commercials now. So the true smart advertisers are ones who are being able to advertise and get their message across without having to have it have audio or be a long 60-second commercial, something that can be picked up in just a matter of seconds, in blinks even, on a fast forward through the DVR. So you'll see some advertisers get it and some advertisers don't.
And that's where, you know, Mark, you know, being on the creative side, that's, you know, creative is so important with something like that.
Yeah, and now that you did that nice segue, I was about to say, and
did
I just
you like that.
I did. That was all just like we planned. I'll give you the $5 I promised later.
Yes.
But yeah, to that end, though, and I'm kind of a little bit different. I do think with marketing and everything, that video is definitely a big component, and the whole PR side and the viral thing and all that. But at the same time, sometimes I'm so impatient with a video. I find that I'm like, wow, it's going to take, you know, 30 seconds to load, even if I have a fast connection or whatever. So there's that thing too. Sort of figuring out what level of quality is going to be acceptable. I'm sure you deal with this. You know, if you want to make it, you know, a 20 gig movie, that's one thing. If you want to make it 600K file, that's another thing, different quality, but faster load. So where that sweet spot is, I think is still kind of evolving. But yeah, video is important. Print, I mean, print still is important. Everybody's saying print's going away, newspapers are going out, and that's true. And I have a lot of Kindle magazines and things on my iPod, and you all probably do too. But I do still kind of like to have a magazine in hand if I'm, you know, waiting on someone or something. So I think there's room for it all, but I think you said it well too, Sue, that this is just another part of the big mix, that you've got to have your PR thing going, you got to have your social media side working, and then also any YouTube video type elements as well to keep that in front of the prospect.
As I hear you guys talk, I seem like there's a divide that I'm hearing, though, and maybe you can clarify this for me. Is there a difference between branding your business and marketing your business? And if so, what's that difference? How do you approach that?
I would think so a little bit in that, and also, actually, I wanted to mention that I put up on my blog this book, in case I didn't get the name right, but I believe it's Be Your Own Brand by, do you remember the name? It's Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, not Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. The home guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
McNally. I believe it's McNally. Be Your Own Brand by McNally and this other gentleman, but it's on my blog at meisenheimer.com/blog. But they were making a good point of describing branding as actually, in essence, the emotive feel that your prospects or your customers have about your company. Like Apple, for example, their brand is not just the little apple with the bite taken out of it and the sleek computers. Their brand is the customer feels like, hey, that's a cool company that I want to be associated with. They make great products, and yeah, they're a little pricey, but they just work. And it's more of a branding is more of an emotive connection you have with your prospect. I think where marketing, either inbound or outbound, is basically reaching out or bringing to your site and telling people about your business. Whereas branding is something your client thinks about you, as opposed to you trying to tell them in marketing what they should think about you.
Yeah, your brand is who you are. Your marketing plan is how you position that vision to the world.
Well, speaking of who you are, that's a unique thing that I heard you say, Sue Ann, is that marketing isn't something you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you are. Take me into that. Explain that to me.
Well, if you are true to your brand, then every moment of your relationship with someone who is walking through your door or visiting your website or, you know, sitting down and shaking your hand across a business meeting table, is that is your opportunity to position yourself to them. So you are literally, you should be thinking about your brand and how your marketing supports that brand in every moment. So you have to stay true to that. If you're, I'll use an example. I'll go back to North Atlanta Urgent Care. When a patient walks through the door, it is the receptionist's job to put on the forward-looking face of the brand of North Atlanta Urgent Care. And they do it really well. And the people who do it well are the ones who are going to succeed. So who will win the day will be the people who are their marketing plan on any given day. The people who are supporting their brand in every single decision they make. Those are the people who will win the day.
Because that brand will be impacted. For example, if the reception person is having a bad day and
really
snipes off at the person coming in, you've just impacted the one that came in, their perception.
What made me think about what you were saying as you were talking, I could see it in your eyes about the passion you have for what you do. And to me, the passion and the integrity can really reinforce that. And that's the way I approach it if I'm talking with a client. I want them to see the passion in my eyes that I have, not just for doing the project, but the creative behind the project and making their business succeed. And I love it. You know, I love to wake up and create. It's what I like to do. And I have a great opportunity because I'm in front of the camera and I'm behind the camera. So I've had that perspective for so many years of being shot on film and for different videos. And now I've been doing it since 2000. And I bring all those different perspectives, and it's awesome. And I just love to get with them, and I think when they see that in my eyes, they realize this is somebody who is passionate about my brand, and that's what I want to let them know. And, you know, I saw that in your eyes just talking about the client, and to me, that's important.
I agree, and that I talk about that all the time. I really don't have clients as much as I do partners. I look for people that strategically make sense to me because my business philosophy is more about philosophy than it is about business. And I'm far enough along in my career to where I choose my relationships very carefully.
Flowers and weeds.
I was talking about that.
I loved that analogy, especially when you said flowers need to be nurtured, but occasionally you have to weed as necessary.
And occasionally a flower will act like a weed, and you have to tame them down and make them act like a flower again. But for the most part, you know, you pull flowers into your garden and you support those flowers wholeheartedly and you nurture them. So that's really, again, about philosophy. I'm all about that.
And I've used the analogy before, rocks and gems. You know, it's kind of like some are rocks and some are gems. That's my life coach guy, Andy Christensen. He really liked that and kind of ran with it on some things he was doing. But it's real important that you do have that relationship with your client, especially for small business, going back to what you were saying, Tom, too, and also what you were saying about knowing the right time to actually have someone in terms of, you've been doing your layout of your flyer or whatever in Word, or you've been doing your own PR or whatever, or shooting your own videos. There's a time for a small business to decide, hey, I really need to step it up to look like I'm as professional as I tell people that I am. Mm-hmm. And that's the time, you know, not to shrink back, but actually not necessarily huge dollars, but take that step and, hey, I need one professional video. If I can't do three of all three of my products, then if I had one that sort of told the story, that would go so much further than, you know, three crummy ones that are out there. Because, again, it impacts your brand and makes your product look inferior. You may have the greatest integrated circuit or whatever it is in the world, but if you're not telling that story, if you're telling it through poor means or by bad, you know, work.
And let me dispel the myth. Let me play Mythbuster right now.
All right.
Because one of the first questions that I get is, well, how much does it cost? And people have this perception that video is so outrageous because they hear, oh, Jennifer Aniston gets $25 million a picture, and, you know, so-and-so gets $30 million a picture, and they go, how much can you do my video for?
Right.
And I have to try to explain to them that, you know what, the camera that I use is the same one that Ron Howard uses to shoot film. But, you know, Ron Howard may charge, you know, $1 million a day, but that's not my rate. It's just a good quality. It's amazing that cameras, editing equipment, and things like that have come down so much in price, thousands of percent over the years. So you can deliver a much superior product to your clients right now for very little cost. It's so affordable. And then when I tell them, you can just see their shoulders just drop and go, wow, really? And that's what I like about that. And it enables me to give everybody, you know, small, medium, and large businesses, that they all get good quality video. And that's important.
Well, that's a great segue as you talk about small, medium, and large businesses. How does a small business or a medium business compete with some of the larger companies out there that have a endless budget seemingly to go out and market and brand, and maybe I'm just a grassroots movement in my business and I'm trying to kind of get my foot in the door? How do I compete with the big players?
I'm going to jump on that real quick and I'll tell you why. I've done work for Kimberly-Clark in the past. It's a brilliant company. I love them to death, and I'm not saying anything bad about them at all because they're spot on. But when you see their work and you see what they do and you see the creative behind it and you see all the money and stuff that they're putting into it, you can still deliver that same kind of creative and final product for the medium and the small business. It doesn't really change. There's a grander scale maybe that they may be putting it on. Let's say, for example, that Kimberly-Clark may want to hire several actors and have two or three different cameras, and they want to have an art director, and they want to have this person and that person. Well, when you add that up, yeah, sure. It's almost like hiring an agency like a J. Walter Thompson or a BBDO. And sure, you can get into the $25,000, $30,000 range for a project. But you know what? If you can align yourself with a company that has that creative and can do those things with a smaller group and maybe somebody who can write and do that creative, and you take those projects and all of a sudden you can hone it down to $3,000-$4,000 for something that a company does that. And then even for a smaller business, well, they don't have a lot of money to play with. But you know what? For $1,000, $500, they can still get something that works for them at that time. There's really a wide range that you have with video. It's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you just hit the nail on the head. Tom and Mark both and myself, we are all companies that offer a lot of different individual pieces of the pie, so that it is a one-stop shop opportunity. And because we're small, we move fast, we're more flexible, our overhead is low, and so we don't have to charge you $25,000.
Right.
We'd love to charge you $25,000 for a project.
You do take those checks.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, it depends on the project. But my big point about this piece is, and it's a great question, and I'm going to go back to North Atlanta Urgent Care because they're one of my favorite flowers right now because they save people's lives on a daily basis. So they are an urgent care business, and there are tons of corporate consortium, venture capitalist run, Wall Street-based urgent care groups that are coming into Atlanta by the dozens. And one of them even has a name that sounds like Wall Street. And they're throwing tons of money at traditional media. They're going to be all over the place. But Atlanta consumers are very smart. Mm-hmm. When they think about healthcare, well, okay, if you're going to go buy a cheeseburger, go to a franchise where they're advertising all the time. And if you're going to go to healthcare, go to a local doctor-owned community-based clinic, and that's where they will fail. people like North Atlanta Urgent Care are going to win the day because they're out there building the relationships. They may not have the huge advertising budget, but they're going to take advantage of the services that I offer, or that Tom offers, or that Mark offers, in order to put together the same kind of critical mass that they need in social media and compete with these other huge consortiums. And Atlanta people are all about community. And so that, and again, it goes back to that trust, that passion, that integrity. And I think that is what wins the day here against the big corporate consortiums.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with that in terms of what I would call basically a virtual team. We have here in the studio a virtual team that could handle pretty much any project that was needed. And like Tom and Sue were both mentioning, it's a case of calling in the expertise that you need. In my case, for example, I do print and web graphic design, and I do the concepts and basically try to tell the story that the client wants to tell to their prospects and their clients. But if they pop up and say, hey, I really need a video to tell this story to on YouTube, then I can get Tom pulled in, or if I need some PR or other skills that you also offer, Sue, in terms of I can create those teams, or we can all create those teams and bring the client what they need and the expertise that they need, and then go our merry way, so to speak, and still focus on without having to be a BBDO or whatever.
I'm going to throw out a client named Boral Brick. They're one of the biggest brick companies right now in America. Now, they're based over in Australia. And my relationship with them started with the SpecMix Corporation, and they're up in Minnesota. They do mortar. Well, we did this thing just recently called the SpecMix Brick Layer 500 in Las Vegas. It was a giant show. Wow. And it is a worldwide bricklaying competition, and Boral Brick was the big sponsor. Well, they knew I was associated relationship with SpecMix because of the work I'd done with them. And you hit all the key words, relationship and integrity. It's so important. In the integrity that I've displayed through the years with SpecMix and my relationship with them and the trust they have with me, Boral Brick went to them and said, we need some video shot. Who do we go to? And the first name they mentioned was, well, Tom with Actor Boy has done great work with us, over the years. And they could have gone to a big agency. They could have gone anywhere. But what did they do? They flew two people up to their robotic plant in Terre Haute, Indiana, myself and my partner, who is Matt Gore. And Matt actually works with Night Glass Media. And we work back and forth together. But I said, you know what? This is going to be a good two-man tag team because we're going to shoot together. I'm going to be on camera a little bit together. But it's important when you have those relationships, you nurture those relationships over the year, and they know that the integrity is there, the professionalism is there, and then you can take that, and the people that can get the work done, it's a two-man team. It's not 20 people that have to supply an office building and a studio and all that. We work from home, we have a small area, and we can still get the job done, and that's really the future.
That is exactly right. That's actually the future of our economy will be these small,
right,
oftentimes home-based businesses.
Or virtual teams or
yes,
alliance
exactly.
partners. So back to your question, back for the small businesses that are listening out there in terms of what they can do, it's sure, engage the large agencies or firms if you'd like, PR firms, whoever, or smaller based professionals like us. I mean, we can basically assemble those teams and create the beginning of the brand for you, be it a professionally designed logo that's going to stand up with the big boys, like you mentioned, how do you compete with the larger companies, or a video that's on par with a Nike or a Microsoft or whichever company you'd pick, or rolling out social media pushes or whatever it is. But the main thing is when you're a small business, you want to look like you can compete and that you are of the same level as the business you're competing against. If you're rolling out a small product, a small project into a crowded marketplace, so to speak, it's real important that you already look like that you're successful with your logo, with your marketing materials, with your videos, with everything that you provide. Because if you automatically look like you're a second bit player or second rate player, then you've already not only hurt your brand, but you've hurt your initiative in the customer's eyes. And looking at player A or player B, you being player B, it looks like you're already kind of missing out, or you're not quite ready for prime time, and that immediately
right.
is going to sink you. So it's almost like, again, you got to be look successful.
I agree.
Out of the gate.
I
want to work with these guys.
Yeah.
I want to do a project with you guys. This is
awesome. The fact that you brought up this big stack of bricks in here, Tom, for the Boral Bricks,
right.
I was wondering how that was going to come in, but it all works.
Well, you guys bring a good point, and help me understand this as a business owner, because I think this is a challenge for a lot of business owners, is who do I work with? we have some people that come at us and they are the Walmarts of advertising. In other words, they do it all. We can handle any job, whether you want video, social media, print, we do everything. Then we get the other end of the spectrum where it's, I'm so passionate about my work. And let's be honest, you can be passionate about something and suck at it.
Right.
And there's some of those people out there as well, right? So how do I find that right person that, that truly has my vested interest in growing my business and helping me make the right decisions, especially if the right decision maybe isn't their specialty? How do I find that person?
Is he asking great questions? I mean, let's
He's asking great questions.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I
wish we'd have planned this, but we didn't. This is perfect. He's just awesome.
Anybody want to start with that one?
Well, I will, I'll jump in there and I will say that I'm a big proponent of following your intuition in business. Mm-hmm. And if you sit down with someone and you feel connected to them, even if they may not exactly have the skill set you're looking for, if they do have the passion and they do have a piece of the puzzle, then I would want to engage them. I'm a big proponent, and I'm going to use a Southern Baptist reference here, of creating disciples in business. You know, you want to be, you know, have your strategic partner team be those people who are, who basically adore you and your brand. So, and you can't, because you can't pay for that. You can't buy that.
Right.
You have, you can teach someone how to be more creative. You can teach, well, you can actually teach them how to use software. You can't necessarily teach them how to be creative. But you can teach them some of the skills that they need to have, but you can't teach them to adore you. So I look for relationships that are meaningful on both sides. So I would encourage you and any other business owner to, if you connect with the person, you know, start there. And if you need a one-stop shop that's like a big Walmart kind of place, then make sure that there is a connection there, because it really goes back to what relationship will support your brand and how you are represented to the world. Because if you don't feel confident and comfortable in that connection, then you aren't going to get what you want from that group, be it one person or a Walmart.
Would you go as far as to say, I would almost call that chemistry. Sometimes
yes.
I use that as...
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're just not really grooving with the person you're meeting with, let's say you're meeting about a website you want done and you're meeting with a web designer A, and it's somehow there's just not... Maybe the connection, I'm not going to say a spiritual connection necessarily, but there's not a, you know, an affinity of, hey, I could work with this person, then it's probably better to move on. And
I think you've just hit on a great idea. We should have Match.com for business relationships.
Well, you know, this trend really is emerging in corporate America as well, where they are hiring less on skill set and more on culture. Mm-hmm. If you're not a good fit for the organization,
that's exactly
it doesn't matter if you have all the skill in the world.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of people have a lot of the same skill sets, and a lot of thing of what we're saying about the integrity and the passion and the good chemistry. It probably took me, I'd say, almost 2 years before I felt comfortable to have, you know, trusted strategic partners that are my resources, because I had to not only talk with them, you know, I talk with the people they work with, I see the work that they do. I mean, I can't just meet somebody off the street and all of a sudden I'm going to trust them. I think that, you know, that goes back to what you were talking about, Sue Ann, the relationship. It takes a while for those relationships to develop and you feel comfortable. And all of our ideas are basically on the same page, you know, the way we want to approach clients, the way we want to work for them, the passion that we have for the work that we do. I mean, there's a certain energy that I feel from my partners, and I feel that when we go in, we can go sit down and have a cup of coffee, and we can just come up with an amazing marketing and branding plan, because we're kind of all, you know, our synergy is just crisscrossing, and but it took a while to do that. I mean, I don't think you can just meet somebody just and connect right away. Sometimes I think that's kind of tough. It takes a while.
Before I forget to mention that, too, I see this a lot, sort of, and again, I'm thinking of the design, you know, graphic and web design side of it, but so often, if it can be a relationship, that's so much better for everybody involved, as opposed to either the designer saying, no, this is the way it's going to look, your homepage is going to look like this, or, as often is the case sometimes, the client will say, no, the logo I want is really, you know, it's a pink pony with a purple bow with a green, and I'm going, yeah,
I've seen that logo.
Yeah, but I'm saying, you're going out to the male bodybuilding world, and I'm not sure that's going to fit. Well, that's what I want. And at the end of the day, I mean, I hate to say you're mercenary, but you either will or will not do that as a designer or whatever. But it's so important if the relationship can be there and the trust, like we're saying, where the client can say, I'm really thinking I really want this or that. And you'll say, you know what? I understand what you're saying, but let me show you an option. I'll show you what you want, but I'll show you an option. And if you can have that back and forth, you know, two heads are better than one, then I think it works out a lot better for everybody. And that continues to build the brand. And one last point on the whole trust relationship perspective is that if somebody comes and says, I like working with you, but I know you don't do video, or I like working with you, Sue, but I realize you aren't actually doing the work in Illustrator or whatever. But you can get past that because you can get those resources together as long as you have the relationship, because you would have enough integrity to tell them, or you, Tom, to say, hey, you know what? You know, I don't do video or whatever myself, but I have an alliance partner that I work with or whatever. And that's the way I am with SEO and some web programming and so forth. You know, frankly, I'm not a very good coder. I mean, I like to fiddle with it, but when it comes down to it, I don't live and breathe that, but I have partners that do that. And I'm sure the same is true for you both.
You mentioned about being open and being able to share. You know, I liken it back to the days in radio. You know, when we get done with a show, we all sit down and, you know, everybody has got to be open to the fact that we're going to come up with 100 ideas for tomorrow's show, and 90 of them are going to be, they're going to be bad. They're going to be crap. If I can use your words,
Sue. You can steal my room.
Steal that.
So, wait a minute. You both have used that word yet.
It's your turn.
We'll find a way to work it in there, Mark.
So when the meeting is over, you know, you have to feel comfortable that, you know, those 10 ideas, whether they're yours or not, it's the group. It's the team together. And I think that's important. You have to be able, you know, check the egos at the door, as they say. And I love that expression because it's so true. Anything goes.
Right. Well, and if everyone's rowing in a different direction, where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm. Is there a test on this? <That's>
right. I am not going to get it right.
Well, so we talk about getting everybody going in the right direction. Are there some things that are kind of universal right now that business owners can look at and say, these are my must-dos and these are my nice-to-dos? When it comes to marketing, branding, these are the things that right now it's critical. You absolutely should be doing these things. And what are the other things that are maybe, hey, if you got all these in place, these are the nice-to-haves that you can add on top?
Well, I'm going to hop in on that because I think it's critical in any economy, but especially a down economy, to really evaluate all of your strategic marketing and look at the uniformity. You know, back to Mark's point, you know, you look at all your materials and you say, well, does my logo and my other materials, does everything jive? Is everything all together? I don't know. Do I have a solid social media plan? Well, it used to be you weren't anybody if you didn't have a website. Well, now you're nobody if you don't have a website and a Yelp review and a YouTube channel and a Twitter feed and, mm-hmm. you know, a Facebook page. And
right.
Lord knows where this Facebook IPO is going to go. I mean, and what's going to be the next Facebook anyway.
Right.
So the whole point is it's a great time to take a look at all the parts and pieces and make sure that everyone is rowing in the same direction. And it doesn't take a lot of money to evaluate all of those parts and pieces. And maybe you take a look at, you know, going back to the infrastructure issue, you know, making sure that you're tracking how people are getting to you, how people are liking your Facebook page, mm-hmm. how people are coming to your website, and evaluating the parts that are working and the parts that aren't. And make sure that, you know, if you don't have video on your website, you're missing out. If you don't have a YouTube channel, you're missing out, because people love that avenue of getting information via the web.
Well, it's not just people. I mean, the search engines are dialed in a little more to things like audio and video these days as well, aren't they?
Google has stated that probably in the next 5-10 years, if you don't have video, they're not even going to look for you.
Right.
And so it's just like, see you later, Charlie. But you said the one word that I think is the most critical, which is web. That's where it is. So if everybody's going to the web, you have to have a good web site. And to me, that's, you know, we're bringing everybody back there, which is so important. So if it doesn't have the right content, if it doesn't have video, if it's not engaging, if it doesn't have that wow factor, but that's where you're bringing everybody. You know, you want them to search for you on Google and they go to your web. You see it on YouTube and that YouTube is going to bring it back to the web. I'm going to be on social media and it's going to be the web. My print piece is going to have my website, so they're going to go back to my web. Everything is driving it back to that website. And to me, that's the crux right there. That's a critical component.
That's exactly right.
You hit an important word, though. I want to highlight this word. You said engaging.
Yeah.
And that's a big change. A lot of websites in the past aren't engaging. It's like a blown-up business card or brochure.
Right.
When it comes to your marketing, how do you really make marketing engage the audience?
To me, it's something that moves you. It's almost like when you were talking about how and I think it was you, Sue Ann, talking about how, or maybe it was you, Mark, about the emotion of the branding. There's a difference between the marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. It has to create an emotion for you. And that's kind of the same way with engaging. It has to move you somehow. You know, when you're doing the video, something, when you're watching that video, it has to do something to you to create either an awareness, you know, suck you in and bring you into that. In radio, we used to call it the hook.
Right.
The hook.
Yeah.
When you're listening to a song, you know, that's basically your chorus. And in video, it's like that first 5 to 10 seconds is so powerful. You know, I wanna just bring you in. And a lot of it is done the same way they shoot movies. Movies are shot in three parts. Basically, it's supposed to be 90 minutes. In 30 minutes, you present a problem. The next 30 minutes, you figure out, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And the last 30 minutes, you solve that problem, and there's a happy ending. You kiss the girl and ride off into the sunset.
That's also a sitcom, right?
It's yeah. Okay.
I was starting to say.
It's a formula.
Yeah. It is, and it's the same way, I think, with video. You've got to present something in the beginning that it might be a question or something that causes you to think, well, oh, okay, what's going to happen next? And then in the middle of that is like, oh, okay. And at the end, maybe it's a call to action or something. But that engagement, that wow factor, it's got to grab you and hold you there. And it's so important. That's why they want videos short on the website. You don't want a 4 minute, you know, 90 seconds to 2 minutes at the most, because you can create that little opening that really just gets a hold of you.
Because, and that's the whole point. You have seconds. There's so much eye candy out there. There's so much vying for everyone's attention, and you have to grab it immediately. It's from my perspective, there are people out there who, you know, they buy a URL, a web address, for those listening out there who don't know what a URL is, and they then say, well, I'm going to put my website together. Well, it's a little like a monkey with a gun, you know. you're sitting there, and you're looking at it, and you're thinking, what were they thinking? But they're programming their picture to the world based on what they like and what they, you know, the fun little tools. Oh, I'm going to have this little animated thing, I'm going to have this big word. I'm going to have a splash page and all that. And that
flashing red type is usually a part
exactly,
of that.
It's like, exactly.
Oh, that'll get it. Yeah,
or a black background with gray type, and you're like, hello, I can't read that. So I think the critical part is making sure that your homepage and every aspect of your brand representation out on the web matches and does a great job of representing you. So, and it catches people's attention. And the best way to do that is with video.
God, I like her even more and
I'm
more.
Telling you.
She said video more than I have.
I said, video.
She has. What, one thing, too, I want to keep out front, too, with people, and it's kind of heartbreaking in some respects, but as new businesses occasionally come to me, they have their passion and what they're really, you know, wanting to do with this business and grow, and they want to talk about marketing and logos and, you know, website for this. But I just have to look at them and think, you know, gosh, it's like you're going to people that live in a desert and you're trying to sell them sand. I mean, just because you're passionate about, you know, pick your whatever it is, you know, gun racks that work only in, you know, Subaru trucks or whatever. I don't know what it is, some niche market. But the point is, if it doesn't have broad appeal, then you might need to broaden your direction that you're going, as opposed to just because you're passionate about it and you do have some money to throw at it, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And sometimes the marketer gets blamed for that, or the designer, or the video guy, or whatever. They've got an idea that's either already been done or else is not really a needed service. And then they're like, hey, this didn't work for me. I've tried for a year. And you kind of wanted to tell them up front, hey, you know, it's really, I'm not sure. You probably did tell them, I'm not sure this is the best, but they don't sometimes want to hear that. That's the first point. And the second point, I forgot now that I've been talking so long. It'll come back to me in a second.
Well, I think we've had so many great points today that what we're going to have to do is have you guys all back on, because we could keep talking about this topic for some period of time, I'm sure.
Sure, we could.
But I'm going to hit a couple more points before we wrap up today. One, I want to make sure everybody knows how to get in touch with you guys. And number two, this is Renegade Radio, and our tagline here is breaking the rules of conventional thinking. So as you tell us how people can get in touch with you and learn more about your service offerings, if you can, share with me one idea, one way to our listening audience that you kind of go against the norm of conventional wisdom when it comes to marketing and branding, something that they should be thinking that is a little non-traditional in thought. So, Sue-Ann, if I can, I'm going to put you on the spot and start with you. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, first of all, you can get in touch with me through my website, idealand.com, idealand.com. My email is Sue-Ann, Sue-Ann-E, at idealand.com. Or you can call us at 404-329-8426. From my perspective, going back to the relationship building, unconventionally, I think one thing that Idealand does really well is customer service. We are fanatical about the customer service we offer to our partners. And I see too often in the larger firms a lack of that, because they get fat and happy. And, you know, we may be a little overweight, but we're not happy until we have made you happy. So unconventionally, we are all about building that strategic partnership. And we won't rest until we know that we have done our very best on your behalf.
Very nice. Very nice. Mark?
Well, she kind of took my line there. I mean, the partnership and relationship thing, but I agree. Yeah, but it's Meisenheimer Creative, and it's just Meisenheimer, Meisenheimer, and Meisenheimer.com. So feel free to email or, you know, call or whatever you would like to do, 678-777-3165. In terms of what we do also, is it comes down to relationships and trying to get the best product and service for our customers in terms of telling the story that they want told to their prospects and their customers, and not always giving them exactly what they want, but what they need, and trying to gingerly ease them into that, and just again try to make a good, successful product launch or website launch or social media campaign, whatever it is. So, and I also put up a little teaser for my listeners that if they heard me say a particular phrase or if they could quote me back anything that I had said or paraphrase even, that I was going to do a $100 offer. So you can. Those that are listening now, you can pick anything that I've said and email me with that, and I'll put you in the drawing. But I've enjoyed being here with Sue and Tom today. It's been great.
Wow. I know that you didn't say the word crap. Can I call in and win?
Yeah, sure.
We'll have you say crap the next time.
I'll try to hold back a little.
I like that. Well, you can catch me at actorboy.biz, and that's just how it sounds, actorboy.biz. And I'd invite you to go look at the portfolio page, because to me that says a lot about, you know, what you do, the work you've done in the past. And so, you know, there's testimonials, there's a demo there, and, you know, it's kind of hard to follow up with those two because they've hit on so many valid points. I like to think that, you know, there's nobody else that's going to answer the phone but me. I meet with all the clients. It's not an editor or, you know, or anybody else like that. I take the bull by the horns, and, you know, I like to deal with the clients one-on-one. You know, nobody else is going to do that. And I answer the phone all the time. There's no message. There's no machine. There's no robots. And I think that one-on-one, when you're talking with somebody, I think that's critical. You know, it's not a text message. It's not an email or anything like that. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you, because to me, the relationship is extremely important, because the more I know you and the more I feel, you know, about you, I get a good feel for you just talking with people. You know, I like to buy people a cup of coffee and just chat. I don't have to chat about business. You know, I'll find out a little bit about you and who you are. And to me, that's important. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned your blog earlier, Mark, and my blogs are on my website. And you'll see that probably one out of every four pertain to business. I just talk about myself you know, just things that I go through and just my life, you know, my kids or maybe an experience or something I had. Because I want people to know me. I want them to feel comfortable about Tom Clark and Actor Boy. And I think if they know me and then I can talk with them and I know them, that makes our relationship that much stronger when we get to meet. And so, phone number. I forgot about my phone number. 770-757-1057.
Very nice. Tom, Mark, Sue Ann, thank you guys so much for being here today. I hope our audience learned a lot from you guys. I know I did. In fact, I think I need to go ahead and put my earmark on this creative collaborative so I can get some things going in my own business. All you out there, we appreciate you tuning in to Renegade Radio, brought to you by Renegade Concepts and the good folks at Business Radio X. We're here every week, Thursday at noon. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible. You have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking.